Man, it's good to be here. Chapel Committee, thank you for allowing me and asking me to do this. I appreciate that. I don't take this lightly, and certainly it is a privilege to be here with you guys. And as Mr. Scheid said, I know Mr. Hansen has mentioned that, Christmas is a really great time of year. I love it. It's one of my favorite times of year, but for the secular reason, I do love getting gifts. I really do, honestly. Who likes getting gifts? Raise your hand if you're like, yeah, okay. We're all there. It's full disclosure. I like it. And I can remember the anticipation, particularly as a young kid. Put yourself in your shoes maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. You're a young kid. My parents used to do this. They used to barricade the top of the floor, and they wouldn't let me downstairs, right? They wouldn't let us downstairs. There's just a massive amount of gifts sitting on the floor, and they didn't want us to get any of it, right? So eventually, you know, the floodgates open. We run down there, tear through the presents in like 10 minutes. You know how it is, right? But it wasn't there. The thing that I wanted wasn't there. Stinks. One there. I was like, but, aha, the afternoon, you know who's coming over? Grandma and Granddad. They're coming over. They surely. Now, I'm going to date myself. It was a Nintendo. Original Nintendo. That was on my list, my bucket list. That's what I wanted, an original Nintendo. And I remember that. And so Grandma and Granddad get there, and they pull up, and we help unload the car. And it seems like it took 5, 6, 7 trips with all the bags, all the boxes, right? We're there. Awesome time, and I knew it, and I was eyeing the boxes up, and you know how it is, right? You see that box, and you're like, that's got to be the one, right? So you go over there, you give it the feel, right? You wait, you shake it a little bit, you're like, oh yeah, that's got to be it. So here I am, and you know it. You're opening up the present. There it is, box, last piece of tape, final. Open up the box. You open it up, you're like, oh, you know exactly what it is you're going to do with this Nintendo. I know, I'm going to plug it in, I'm going to play Mario all day long, can't wait. Open it up, you're like, oh, thanks for the sweater, Grandma, appreciate that. You're like, and in your mind, you're like, man, disappointment, right? You're a little confused, because you're like, I had that on my list, and that's what I wanted, but it's a sweater. And sometimes it's even like a little irritational anger, like, how dare you get me a sweater, right? How dare you get me a sweater? But of course, you can't say that to Grandma, so you just look at her and be like, that's awesome. It wasn't even on my list, and you got it for me. Thanks, right? Yeah. But sometimes, you know, and that is like that gift for me. Now, I was laughing because I think we have this ugly sweater at skate night, something or other, and man, I wish I had kept my 5 or 6 sweaters that I have. I felt like I got one every Christmas, a new sweater. But it is estimated, I saw this stat the other day, it's a crazy stat, that over $13 billion are going to be spent on unwanted gifts this Christmas, right? People that are going to return gifts, okay? That's a crazy estimation to me. But in my reaction, I was a little angry. I was a little confused, right? A little disappointed. I wasn't going to show it. I didn't want to be disrespectful. But I feel like sometimes we feel like that with life, right? And with God. We feel disappointment. We feel confusion, anger with what we've been given. And if we define gifts as the various things that we've been handed to us, right? Things given to us, circumstances that could be situations in your life, that could be even relationships that you're in with family or friends. We can talk about this topic of receiving gifts, whether they're wanted or unwanted, in the big picture context of our experience in life. And so that's what I want to talk a little bit about today, is just sort of these unwanted gifts that are handed to us, that are given to us, these experiences that we have in life. And certainly I think that we could bring to mind pretty quickly, considering we're coming off of this Thanksgiving break, all the things that we are thankful for. I mean, there's got to be tons, right? We're thankful for friends, family. I imagine if I said, stand up if you're thankful for your family or your friends, I think everybody would be up at some point because we are thankful for those people, right? Did you drive a car to campus this morning? It's a pretty good gift. Be thankful for that, right? Maybe you're thinking about your boyfriend or your girlfriend. We're thankful for those things, right? The opportunity to attend AACS. Yeah, some of you are thankful for that, right? Even some of you seniors, you've gotten into the college of your choice, right? Just talking with Evan, right? Signed the other day. It's great, right? Getting accepted to the college of your choice. And of course, these are good, right? And we can clearly look at these things. We can look at ourselves. We can look at God and say, that is really, really good. That is a good gift. And I'm thankful for that. But I think we know it gets a little tricky because if we've lived long enough, and everybody in this room has lived long enough to know that there's also a lot of things that we look at, right, that are given to us, experiences that we have, and we say, No. I don't want that. Nope. No thanks. No thanks. I don't want that. Well, we'd rather get rid of these things. We wish we could ignore them. We wish we could even prevent them or escape them. But the crazy thing is that God asks us to see even these difficult struggles and these difficult situations as gifts. And I know as I even say that right now, I know your mind is spinning. Oh yeah, that's me. Or yeah, I'm in that. Or yes, I know about that. James wrote to the early church, he says this, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And this is a really, really hard calling. Now, I don't know about you, but my first response when I face trials is not to rejoice. It's not to be filled with joy. In fact, my first response really is, God, what are you doing? God, what are you doing? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we've all asked that question. And we can look at our life, and we can think about some of these unwanted gifts and just say, God, what are you doing? Share a few examples from my life and talk a little bit about some that you might be experiencing. Some unwanted gifts for the Denstead family. My father-in-law, wonderful man, godly man, pastor, teacher, missionary, started multiple Bible colleges worldwide, has created teaching material for pastors that have been translated in dozens and dozens of languages. And he deals with significant anxiety and depression to the point that he has attempted to take his life multiple occasions. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Right? For my wife and I, between our first kid, Denny, and our second kid, Ray, we had a series of miscarriages to the point where we thought, why are we doing this? Why are we going to put ourselves through this angst? This is terrible. This stinks. This is no good. Why are we doing this? Hurts, right? It hurts. Even our most recent experience in Mississippi, we left Philadelphia in a ministry that we had, people that we loved, to go start a school. That's what we felt that God was calling us to do. And it was a wonderful experience. We poured everything we had, time, energy, resources, finances, everything we had into this thing. And then in May of 2019, we said we couldn't open up. We didn't have enough finances to come in to open up for a school year. And we came back basically empty-handed. We came back in a van and a car with what we could put in there. That was it. Like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Man, I don't want you to feel bad for me, but I know that we have some unwanted gifts that are in your life. Maybe you've got some divorced parents. Maybe you have a learning disability. Maybe it's one failed dating relationship after another. Maybe you're battling with anxiety or depression, right? Do you struggle with some habitual sin or some addictive behavior that you hate but you just cannot seem to stop? Does your family struggle financially? Is physical, emotional, sexual abuse, is that part of your story? Maybe you didn't get into the college of your choice. These are very real and very difficult things that often make up our life experiences. These are the kinds of things that you and I, that we've been handed. And how should we make sense of all of this? What should our response be to those completely unwanted and so-called gifts? The world offers us some less than helpful options, and I think you guys could finish this phrase for me. I think, when life hands you lemons, what do you do? Yeah, that is the stupidest thing, because you can't make lemonade with just lemons. What do you get when you squeeze lemons? You get lemon juice, and that doesn't taste very good. What do you need? You need a little sugar to add to make lemonade, right? Now, I get it. I get it. We have to have a positive outlook on life, and I'm not downplaying that. I certainly would agree with that, right? But sometimes it's okay to look at a situation and say, man, that really stinks, or man, that is difficult. Because our culture often tells us, no, be tough. Be tough. Suck it up. You can do it. I think we may even have some parents in our own family that have sort of taught us or modeled for us that, hey, if we're dealing with something, we're not going to talk about it. Let's just sweep it under the rug. Let's not deal with that. Let's not speak about it. Like sometimes in churches, we hear, oh, you're going through a difficult time. Well, you just need to pray for that because that's not of God, right? God doesn't want you to go through difficult things. He wants things to be good, quote unquote, good for you. And I don't think that's what we see in Scripture. In fact, Paul writes to the church in Rome, he says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he's given to us. There's hope for us in these seasons of unwanted gifts, right? There's hope for in this season maybe for you of just unclarity, leaving us with this question, God, what are you doing? So I have four things to keep in mind when we receive these unwanted gifts in life. The first thing is this, God will provide. Say it with me again, God will provide. God will provide. Now, he may provide differently than what we expect. Think about Israel. They were in captivity as slaves in Egypt for years and years and years, centuries, asking God, release us. He did, right? He did. They were in the desert. God, feed us. God did. And what did they start doing? They started to complain because it wasn't the food that they wanted, right? They got the manna and the quail. They wanted the meat from Egypt, right? They were complaining about that. God provided for them. It just wasn't in a way that they expected. And I think in these seasons, when we're dealing with these unwanted gifts, God is going to provide. He's just going to provide in ways that we may not expect. And we have to see. So that's the challenge. We've got to see that these circumstances are here and he's providing his care in those unwanted seasons. Second thing to keep in mind when we're talking about the season of unwanted gifts in your life is, guys, we do not know the mind of God. The last time we dealt with something difficult or disappointing, did you find yourself grasping for a way to make sense of it? I do. Like demanding an answer from God? I do all the way. I was asked those questions even this summer. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I think this is a normal human experience. I think if you read through the Psalms, you see David doing the same thing. He's honest with God. He's confused. And God was patient with David as he's patient with us as we ask those questions. Christians often like to say this phrase, and it's true. I kind of don't like it, but it's true. Man, everything happens for a reason. You know, pat on the back. Everything happens for a reason. You'll be fine. And while that's true, I do believe that. I believe that God is sovereign. He is in control of all things. He's intentional. He's purposeful about what he does and what he allows. So that's true. But you know, what's not true is the idea that we're always going to be able to see or understand the reason. I was like, wouldn't it be nice? I think it would be nice all the time if every time we were handed this unwanted gift that we could just, all we have to do is just analyze it. We just think about it just a little harder. We're going to figure out exactly why God is doing what he's doing. We could figure out what he's trying to accomplish through that. We can take a step back and be like, oh, yeah. I see what God's trying to do there. So everything is okay. And you know, sometimes he does bless us with those glimpses into that. But oftentimes he doesn't. And it's natural, guys. It's natural to ask those questions. However, ultimately, we've got to trust the good heart and the intentions of the gift giver. And we've got to come back to this reality. Because God is God, his ways are higher than our ways. He spoke through the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah writes this of God, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." I love this Piper quote. John Piper, he's an author and pastor. He wrote this, "God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you may be aware of three of them," right? You may be aware of three of them. Just because we don't get it doesn't mean that God is not good. Just his ways are higher than ours. Third thing to consider in these seasons of unwanted gifts in our life is that God's definition of good does not always match our definition of good. Right? I think this is an important point. It's a little different from the last point. You know, sometimes we can't understand why God would give us such an unwanted gift as we beg for an answer. And oftentimes, sometimes we're tempted not to trust him at all. Like, we can't see the point. Like, God, what are you doing? We have to go back to point two and say, you know what? God knows something that I don't know, and we have to trust that. But other times, I think if we're honest with ourselves about what is actually good for us in the long run, like in the deep matters of growth, maturity, health, I think we could realize that and see some of the good pretty quickly. Thought about a couple different dynamics and relationships, one particularly parent to child. Right? There are certain things that I allow my kids to do, certain things I don't allow my kids to do, and it's predominantly for their safety, right? For their protection, right? I'll give you a quick story. My son's about 3 years ago, 3 years old, and he loves to run, man. He loves to run. And we're at the grocery store, and I think the cereal aisle, I'm trying to figure out what cereal I want to get. And, of course, I always go back to Frosted Flakes, but I'm trying to venture out, right? Son likes to run up and down. I'm like, buddy, all right, you can run. Just don't go beyond the aisle, man, because there's these carts that, you know, they'll come, and you can't see them, and they might hit you, and it might hurt. I was like, so don't do it. And so he's running, and I see him take off. He kept going. He kept going, and sure enough, as he crosses out that aisle, this woman with the cart hits him. He lands on the floor, starts crying. I mean, the woman's mortified. I mean, she's petrified, and of course, the loving father that I am, I look at him as he's running back to me, and she looks at me. I'm like, oh, it's okay. It's his fault. He told you, know, he wasn't supposed to do that, and he comes running to me. I'm like, what do you want me to do, buddy? I told you, don't run in the aisle. These things would happen. I told you that, you know? Of course, thankfully, God does not do that with us. But that was me, my gracious, loving self to my son. Now, if it was my daughter, it would be a totally different story. I would be sprinting down the aisle after her before she gets injured. That's just a different dynamic between a father and a daughter. But another dynamic that I thought of was the dentist. Now, forgive me, and I don't mean to offend if any of your parents are dentists. I hate that place. I don't like the dentist. But I know that the dentist is really good for me, right? It's good for my health. I don't like going there. But I didn't know it's good, right? I know it's good. And so we go, right? Or another dynamic I thought was with the coach and his player, right? And his player. The one thing that I hate about sports is I hate running. I really don't. I don't like to run. It's the worst thing in the world to me to do is to go out and run. But I know that when my coach puts me on that line and has the whistle in his hand, and he doesn't tell us how many, he just says, go, and we just go, and we just go. I know that it's for good. I know that it's for good because it's training me and it's preparing me. And of course, I know that my coach knows what's best. We tend to define good in very narrow terms, right? We're focused sort of more on our momentary pleasure and comfort and much less concerned with the ultimate good that God has for us, which really in reality is the redemption of our bodies. It's the redemption of our minds, of our spirit, right? As we pursue relationship with God. And if God has in mind the ultimate good of us knowing Jesus more deeply and us becoming more like him, then we have to admit that God's definition of good is much deeper and more glorious than what ours usually is. Now, I thought of this. Good to me, and I think good to many of us, is when the Ravens win on Sunday. How about that, right? Yeah. And it has been pretty good, hasn't it? Yeah, we can clap, yeah. All right. It's good. Or when Sage serves, what's chicken tenders? Y'all like your chicken tenders, right? Okay. I'm more of a Caesar salad guy. I love the Caesar dressing at Sage. If you guys say, yeah, okay, so yeah. It's basically what I get. And you know what? God does care about those little joys in our life, like those little pleasures. He enjoys that for us. But he has something greater, right? He has something greater for us. It's a greater good. It's knowing him. It's trusting him, right? It's loving him. That's a gift that I think if we honestly see it for the treasure that it is, we're going to have a whole new perspective on these trials, on these unwanted gifts in our lives that are just actually his discipline and his protection for us. I love C.S. Lewis, and from his book, The Weight of Glory, he writes this. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition with infinite joy offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because we cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Now, that's some old English language. Here's the translation, basically, what Lewis is saying. As we'd rather sit on a pile of mud than enjoy a vacation at the beach. God has something so much better for us, and we need to trust the giver of that gift. And lastly here, God is in the business of redeeming. He is in the business of making good out of the bad. And I think we can't talk about unwanted gifts without mentioning that some suffering and some trials that we endure are actually just the result of sin in the world, right? The result of just general brokenness. The result of somebody else's sin in your life that's affecting you. It's also the result of our own sin. Some of our own stupid choices that we make. But no matter how we try to spin it, these things are bad. They're not good. But the amazing thing is that God has the power to redeem these bad gifts. Amen? Finally, it is a well-known fact that God loves his children. He does. And as a part of his family, he promises to provide for us. Paul writes to the church in Philippi in Philippians, he says this, God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. But please make note of this. It is not all our wants according to what we want or desire. It is according, he says, he will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. He's going to supply what it is that we need according to what he knows is best for us. And again, that may not look good, may not feel good, but we have to trust in the giver of that gift. And God provides a couple of things freely and abundantly. One of the things he does is he provides more of himself. Our greatest need is for more of God. It is. I love Piper's quote here. He asks this question, what is the deepest root of our joy? What God gives to you or what God is to you? It's a profound statement. Is it what he gives to you or what he is to you? Our ultimate need is not for things. Our ultimate need is for him. It's for his word. It's for his ways. It's to know more about him. And ultimately, God's provision is found in the gospel, right? When we trust in Christ, listen, when we trust in Christ, we have secured every good thing from him. It's just a matter of time. We may not experience it on this side of heaven, but we've secured it for sure. James writes again, he says, every good thing comes from God. And of course, the ultimate good thing that God has provided is in his son, Jesus. And as we kind of sort of think about and anticipate December 25th, right? It's coming in just a few weeks away. As we anticipate this coming of the Messiah, we see that this is God has provided that for us. And that is good. If you have not accepted Jesus in your heart, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I would encourage you and implore you to explore who Jesus is, particularly during this season. Start asking questions. Who is he? Because the ultimate good thing that God has provided for us is Jesus. Amen? Listen, if there's anything that you heard today that sort of resonated with you and you'd like to spend some more time talking through, there are a lot of people, there's many, many people in this room that love you, that care for you, and that would love to explore and talk more about that. Find a trusted adult, a mentor. If it's your parents, great. If it's not, if it's one of the teachers here, if it's somebody from your church, spend time, ask questions. God loves you. He cares for you. And yes, I get it. We're oftentimes in seasons of things that we don't want to experience, yet we are. And just know that he cares for you and he loves you. Let's pray. God, we're thankful for your gift in Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you love us, that you care for us immensely, that you would send your own son to die on a cross for our sins, for my sins. Thank you for providing those unwanted seasons in life, for those unwanted gifts, Father. Help us to trust you. Help us to know you more in those seasons. We love you. Amen.